but he seems to have a knack for being able to pick songs out quickly that go along with my lesson so well. We talked about in the first lesson about trying to be more godly people. That's what makes up the church. We are all here. People might look at us from the world. People might look at us from work, school, our families, and say, why is that guy up there? Why is he preaching? I know who he is. I know who these people are in these pews. I've seen them do some pretty bad things. They aren't anything. I've seen them do some really bad things before. I can't believe how uppity they think they are. As a church, we try to be focused on doing what God wants us to do. Sometimes our families might look and see when we go to church, it's not to try to be perfect people. There certainly are people that go to church and think they're perfect and exude that with others, but the whole discussion that we had this morning in class about being humble should hopefully be ingrained in our lives to the point where people don't see that in us. They don't see that arrogance. They don't see that, well, I'm going to church, so I'm going to be saved, and you're a sinner, and you're going to hell, and I'm so much better than you. If that's ever our attitude, we have totally got it wrong. We need to start over. The song that Cody just led, My Hope is Building Nothing Less, we could switch that around and say, My Hope is Building Nothing More. We can't go below what God wants us to do. We can't go above what God wants us to do. It's absolutely in the middle. Being in the middle is not something the world's happy with. They always want to be on the high side of everything. Everything else is status quo. Status quo is labeled bad by the world. That's one reason why the plan that God has declared to us so clearly is passé. People think it's old school. It's not to be carried forward anymore because that was a baseline a long time ago. And so they everything in their mind goes back, oh, that was the 1400s or 1200s or 1000s or whatever. It's not 2014 or 15. That is old time. Get past it. Get over it. Welcome to the new. Well, that's not true. When Scripture says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that is it. And we can look at that. And for years, I think it may be in the King James Version, that said God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That idea, remember, Christ and God are one and the same, so we're still talking about the same person. But we know for a fact that John, in the first chapter, says that Jesus was the Word. He was the one that produced all the Bible that we have. He was the one that declared it to us in person. And so when it tells us in Scripture that He was the same then, at that time, and today, and going forward, everything that He said does not change unless He changes it, and we can see through the Holy Spirit that that was not going to happen. So everything that I'm trying to talk about today is absolutely current. It is newsworthy. It could be in the headlines. And it's something that should be in the headlines for as long as we live. Going back, and I've kind of picked up a little bit of what Abe's done a little bit lately, kind of reflecting back on where we started off. But part two in building in Christ is godly people make successful churches. We talked about our new building plans and how that's part of building a new church. It has nothing to do with the people that are here, but it has a place for us to assemble and to be that church called out and assembled. We talked about the location there. And Mike could probably go on that overhead and say, well, actually, Roger, that little line right there, that's the underground water table and blah, blah, blah. And he could tell us all about how that water system works there. I'll just leave that to a different time. But that is an overhead view. And it does something to me to go into Google Maps and especially Google Earth. That application is crazy. I haven't been on there in a while. But if you remember back a few years when I did the zoom out picture from Earth, from looking at our building and going out in space, it's a little scary to just think about that. But this view, whenever you're looking down on something, tells you two things. First of all, it goes back to that humility thing. We are so much lower than everything else that exists. But most of all, God is looking down on us in that same way. In His Spirit, He sees us that way. And so, right now, he's looking through this building and he's saying, I see Roger. I don't know, he's not doing such a good job. We had some people leave. It's like, oh, well, am I doing what I'm supposed to be or not? That's all I'm capable of today. And so we talked about this gentleman here, Kevin Vickers, and what he did for Canada. So now we want to get into looking about how godly people make successful churches. In Acts chapter 2, we talked about this as well, and I've got the little red asterisks both for you and for me. If you see that, we already talked about it, but I just want to make sure we look at these passages again. Continuing daily talks about what the new church did after the first big group of people had decided to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins and to change their lives. And so the Lord added to the church We're talking about the church. The church are those individuals. They're trying to be godly in that first lesson, but now we're adding to the church. I love this picture, and sometimes if the pictures are too nice, I have to dig a little bit and try to make sure there's no copyright issues on them. But the nice thing about the internet is so much is free. But this picture, let me read this passage first. Matthew 7, 23 and 25 goes along nicely with one of Cody's songs. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, that first of all is Christ speaking, doesn't leave anybody out of that picture. Whoever hears these sayings of mine. That means if you listen, you hear somebody talk about this, or you read it for yourself, you qualify for this. And does them, so there's two things. You can hear them, but you can just sit there and do nothing, but you actually have to do something about them. He will liken that person to a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. Why? Because it was founded on the rock. It was in the song. It was in the kids' song that we all grew up with. Wise man built his house upon the rock. I could probably sing it loud enough and get all the kids to start going along with me there. Why do we ingrain simple songs like that into kids? Well, it goes back to what we talked about in that first lesson. If we teach kids to follow a pattern, train up a child in the way they should go and they will not depart from it, that's our goal. Individual kids, when I look around here, be James, be Philip, be Tucker, some of these over here, Adam, Andrew, Kayla, your parents are setting down tracks for you. But just like any train system, there's going to be branches in your life that you might take. Our goal as parents is to make sure that you at least get started in the right direction. You know, sometimes I'm going home at night, and I've always been fascinated by airplanes. I guess growing up in Vandalia, we had an airport right beside us, so you just get used to them. But I love airplanes. I don't always like the vapor trails that turn into storm clouds. It seems like they can get pretty ridiculous. But sometimes you'll look up, and it looks like every plane is going in the same direction. Then there'll be one going totally against everybody else there. As parents, that's what we're trying to do. We want you to go in the same place that we think is in congruency with the Word of God. And if you're going out and you do a big turn and you go back the other way and you can see that vapor trail is totally deviated from the path of everybody else, it's going to be evident to others that you've taken a path on your own. And that might be fine, but your final destination is absolutely important. We're talking about the church, we're talking about parents, we're talking about kids, and we're talking about the survivability of the church. Every adult that's in here is a Christian, is a part of this congregation. We may take roles in teaching, in preaching, in ministering, but every one of you kids that are sitting out there are the next generation of the church. When we are gone, it's going to be up to the success that you take over and how well you do with the church. Because if you just say, nah, not interested in it, I'm not going to care about it, you're doing exactly what this passage doesn't say. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them, well, if you're doing them and you're likened to a wise man that built the house on the rock, well, what if you don't do them? Well, you're that person in the sand. You built a castle essentially, and it collapses. Life is going to be like this. These waves are going to be big. They're going to try to move you. I love lighthouses. Rachel and the kids and I have been to a lot of them over the years when we've gone down to South Carolina and northern Georgia. I love seeing those things out there because they're old. They haven't moved. They've been there for years, and they've weathered many storms. That is what a Christian in the church needs to be. Steadfast, unmovable, but also keeping that mind of building. Another scary picture, but one that goes well with this passage. I say to you that you are Peter. Remember, Christ said, who does the world basically say that I am? And they said, well, they think you might be this person, might be that person. And Christ called him out and said, Peter, who do you say I am? And he said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, or on this confession that you just made, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Every time I go into study, there's words that pop out of passages I'm so familiar with, and then it makes me start thinking everything differently. The gates of Hades, or hell, shall not prevail against it. How can the gates of hell prevail against Christ's church? Remember, God's reserved for judgment those that are doing wrong, and they basically have been bound up. But also, we know that Satan is loose on this earth, and he's the one that we deal with. In this picture here, if you've ever seen lava flow, and I love lava flows, got to go to Hawaii one time and see an active volcano, but that lava just keeps spreading out and spreading out, and when it hits water, it instantly cools down and just turns back to rock. Something that could actually kill you, if you stood on molten lava, you would die so fast. It would just burn you alive. It might take a few moments depending on how tall you are or whatever, but the idea just scares me to think about it. But as soon as that rock gets cooled down, you can break it, you can lift it up with your hand, you can flake it apart. It is so brittle, so easy to damage. In this picture, I thought it was a culmination of that idea. Hell is this melting, burning fury of just vengeance, trying to subdue people like us that are trying to do what's right. And that calm water is Christ in the church, and it's able to just extinguish those flames, as the Bible points out, extinguish the darts of the wicked one. That's what we can do. 1 Peter chapter 2, coming to Him as a living stone, again talking about the church, how it can become a strong church through individual work, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. This idea of living stones, each one of us are living stones, and we are being, says we are built up a spiritual house. The first lesson I talked about how important it was for that foundation and how important it was to keep building on it properly. Well, think about us as living stones, as part of the church. Glennon, Edith, Mike, Brad, and I can go around the room and name every one of you. We're all stones of different shapes and different sizes that we all have to be put in together. I don't like some of the illustrations I've used with bricks because bricks are exactly the same. They're stacked the same way. They're joined the same way. But you go back in time and you look at rock walls. They would take a rock and put it here, and then because this curve was here, they'd put another rock a different direction. That's how the church is. And when we talk about knit and joined together, which I think I've got a graphic for that in here too, that's kind of how we are. It's the what makes the strength. You know, the problem with a brick wall is if it gets a crack at all, it can just snap right off. It's all levels and layers. The stone, there's no consistency in them. Most of the time, if you go to an old house, it's all brick, cobblestone, you won't see cracks like you do with brick. You see those brick cracks and they kind of work their way up through the from the foundation up. Not so with stones. In Daniel chapter 2, the interpretation that Daniel has for King Nebuchadnezzar, maybe his son. Anyhow, it says, In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. I believe this is Nebuchadnezzar's son. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, bronze, clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. This dream is certain, and an interpretation is for sure. So again, that idea of that so much can be destroyed by Christ. And I just, in my mind, I always hear this story. When you see that stone being cut out of the mountain and pulled out of there, and how it was just thrown. And I was online and just trying to see what I could find on there, and all kinds of people had done these illustrations of rocks flying through the air, this big statue with a gold head and silver, all just like the original story was here. But Christ basically destroys it. And notice there, it says, It'll break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. What kingdom has stood forever since the time of Daniel? It didn't start there. But the kingdom of God, the kingdom that we're a part of, the church that we're a part of, adults and kids, and I'm going to keep talking to you kids because it's really important for you guys to remember that you are the next stage, your next generation of what the church will be. You can dismiss church, you can think it's not that big a deal, but somebody's going to carry it after we're gone. This idea of being knit, and I struggle to find some pictures here because sometimes the human body gets a little disgusting if you try to show pictures. So I wanted to show something that wouldn't freak anybody out. Ephesians chapter 4 says, But speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things to Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I always think about, I think Peter talked about Paul, and sometimes he was hard to understand. And sometimes when you read even the interpretations of Paul, he says so much, by the time you're done, you're like, what did he just say? Well, that's one reason I like to throw pictures on the screen. First of all, when we're talking about the church and how to make a good church, we have got to keep Christ at the head. He is absolutely the head. our bodies will not do anything if we don't have a head. I have not seen this too often. Some of you that raise chickens, which there's an awful lot of people over here that do, you know, if depending on how you deal with the chickens when it's ready to take care of them and get them ready for dinner, I know a lot of people used to just wipe their heads off. That body may run around there aimlessly, but it has no idea what it's doing. It's just a reaction. It's a little bit freaky to us city folk that see that sometimes, but to those of you that see that happen, it might be maybe amusement or something. But that body is just totally reacting. It has no direction. It will die. It's bleeding. The life is going to stop. Everything that controls an animal is up here. In a human, our brains are far more complicated. If something happens to our head, our body pretty much will stop immediately. It will not be able to continue on. Christ controls every part of us. But things like this, pictures like this, just remind us, and it should remind us, if you've ever looked at biology, if you've ever looked at physiology and seen how complex a human being is, even if you don't believe in God, even if your faith is not strong that God created us, you should be able to look at how we're knit together and just think for yourself, okay, if evolution is how we all got here, how in the world did this one, how did my body get formed like that, and how am I so different from all the myriad of other things on this earth? Just look at the different muscles that are shown here. I mean, we can feel our muscles when they hurt. Ow, my tricep hurts, or ow, my bicep hurts, or my shoulder hurts. There are so many muscles down below where we actually can feel them. Totally underscores what this passage is talking about. The whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. We've talked about that before. As Christian brothers and sisters in this congregation, if we're doing this, all of our body is going to be getting sore because maybe our knee hurts or our ankle hurts. Or I've talked before, one little toe on your foot can sometimes bother you to the point where the rest of you is like, ooh, and you're using all of your other joints and ligaments and muscles to offset that one suffering member. That's how the church should work. We should all be totally connected so we know what's going on. But as for you, brethren, do not go weary in doing good, but if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him that he may be ashamed. We don't want to make anybody feel bad. We don't want to make people feel that they've got problems in their life. And that's our human nature. But Scripture, like this and others, tells us if somebody's got a sin in their life and they're part of your group, they're one of the muscles that we just talked about on the previous slide, call it out. Get it fixed. Put that arm in a sling if it's causing problems, because you've seen people that have gotten injury and they work through it and then they never get past that. We want to make sure that the people that are around us, that are in our group, that are called Christians in the church, they're not bringing us down, and we don't let them fall. As we talked about in the first lesson, we pull them back out of the fire to save them. We talked about brick and how easily it cracks. Acts chapter 20. So now, brethren, I command you to the God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up to give you inheritance among those who are sanctified. 1 Corinthians 3. According to the grace of God which He has given me, we talked about that in the first lesson. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. That first lesson I talked about, each one of us are putting things on that foundation, and we might get askew. Another problem is sometimes just the mortar. What connects us? Do I show up each Sunday and I just see you guys like, hey, how's it going? And I go home and I don't talk to any of you. I don't email any of you. I don't check on and see how you're doing. And then I see you next week and I'm like, hey, how's it going again? That's like a wall that has no mortar at all. It's just a bunch of bricks stacked on top of each other. Do you know how easy it is to knock a big wall down of just bricks? You can just push it and the whole thing will just go thump and it'll just collapse. But if those same bricks have mortar holding them together, that wall is sometimes going to be impervious. You're not going to be able to knock it down. Mortar is the time and the attention that we give each other. I'm guilty of sometimes having some bad mortar, maybe having cracks in my mortar. Some of you may be too. I need to find out how you're doing. You need to find out how I'm doing. If you hear that I'm having some problems, you need to try to get with me. If we know someone's suffering, try to let them know that we care. As much as we can, we want to show that we are that knit, joined together body. And we will be strong and be able to stay on that foundation properly. Ephesians 2, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and member of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, So what are we built on again? I thought Christ was the chief cornerstone. Well, yeah, he was. But remember, he sent the apostles. And in the Old Testament times, we understand through Scripture that he also directed the prophets to go out and to deal with the things that God wanted done for the people of his. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, there's what we were looking for. And him, the whole building being fitted together, grows into a holy temple. But you are also being built together for a dwelling place. Let me go back up at the top there. You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Most of the time, if you're building a building, a lot of times, especially the stone, may come from far away. You look back at some of like Egypt and places like that, they would often have to go very far for their quarries and have to bring those stones in. We know when they built the temple for Solomon and for God, they had to go off and to quarry those things and bring them in. We're all like that. We're stones sometimes brought from many diverse places. If I went around the congregation, what city were you born in? What state were you born in? Where did you live? What were the circumstances of your background? Our stone makeup is all going to be different. Some may be small, some may be big, some may be granite, some may be limestone. We're all these diverse strangers, but we're called together commonly as part of the church. And as we're knit together, we become that temple to the Lord. In Hebrews 11, it says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to the place that he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So many times we hear that last thing that I've got underlined there. He waited for the city and has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But are we the type of people, going back up there at the beginning, who was called to do something and they went out? As a congregation, we're called to seek the lost of this area. We're called to seek the lost of our family and friends and to bring them into the church. Maybe not necessarily here in Waynesville, but are we doing that? Because that's what strengthens us and helps us in our own efforts. Talking about strengthening, we've got what we saw in the first lesson is trying to be godly people. What makes godly people? What helps parents produce godly offspring? And as those offspring grow up, what helps them understand how to be a godly person? Okay, well, you've made progress there. Now you're trying to help the church function and be stable and growing and have a very good, strong source there. Well, you know, you can't have a building build at one time and then just leave it alone. Every year we have to do maintenance on this building. We've had foundation problems. We've had brick problems. We've had stair problems. I mean, all of us that have houses know there's always something that comes up. Strengthening our house involves a lot of different things. It could be painting the exterior. How is painting the exterior strengthen your house? Well, have you ever gone up to a house that hasn't had paint on it and pushed on the wood? You can almost push your finger through it. That wood gets deteriorated because it doesn't have protection. The church has to have protection by the efforts that we put into it. Acts 16, and as they went to the cities, they delivered to them, and that's the churches that they had, the people that they were talking to, the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. One thing I like to go back to Acts, and when they say they went to all these churches strengthening them, remember it wasn't just a couple chapters before in some of these places that they actually started those churches. Well, sometimes within just 10, 20 years, weakness happens to these brand new churches, and they're having to go back through and strengthen them again. How much more so do you think it'll be for us that live in the society that we have today, not knowing that strengthening a church is important? Philippians 4, same book we were in today. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned to both be full and hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Bottom line, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And again, keeping in. I talked about those pastures before. You're on this pasture. Whichever one you're in, you're not in the other one. Again, sounds so stupid, but it's just the same thing here. If we're in Christ, Christ is going to strengthen us and help us to do the things to seek after Him. Here's another thing I wanted to try to find pictures of, and I was horrified. I had to get out of there. I was trying to find a dislocated knee. Don't look for them. It's really, really bad, especially if you like football or things like that. A dislocated knee, there's just too many images out on Google. So I tried to find one with somebody just holding his knee and make sure it wasn't copyrighted by the NFL or anything like that. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight the paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. I've used this passage a lot when I've talked about the church and strengthening ourselves and trying to be built up. All of you probably find the same thing I have. Once summer started going away and the cool weather came and we didn't have to mow our grasses so much and go out and work in the yard and garden, did you notice that sometimes those aches started coming up a little bit more often? You weren't using all those muscles so much and it was a little bit easier to strain yourself. I've noticed that. I've tried to stay with my exercise routine now, trying to lift the weights more often, because I had a couple times I was working, I'd be bending over picking up logs last year, and man, my back was getting hurt all the time. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm still a young guy. And then I look and I say, I'm 44. Well, that's probably why I'm starting to have these pains. When I started exercising, it was not so easy for me to hurt my back. And that's the same thing that this passage is being told by the Hebrew writer. Strengthen those things that might be a little bit limp in your life, and especially as a church, work on becoming more steadfast, more strong, and you won't have those dislocations. You know, people in sports, and I think the Cincinnati Reds really did a bad job of this year, I think they were doing so well early in the season that they got used to doing so well that they didn't concentrate on exercising. Oh, we're doing great, let's just not do anything. Well, there were like groin injuries and knee injuries and hamstring injuries. They were just getting hurt for the rest of the season. I'm like, where did this team go? I think what they had happen is exactly what the Hebrew writer is saying here. They stopped paying attention to staying strong, and everything started hurting them, and it caused them problems. That's what we want to avoid as a church. Struggled a little bit for the image on here, but I like it more and more after I found it. But may the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I think somebody talked about it. I think Cody talked about it on the table today, about, and maybe Brad in class too, about how we're a reflection of Christ. And I talked about a lesson last year about we're kind of like the moon and the sun. Christ is like the sun, and we're the moon reflecting that sunlight. And whatever we are is a reflection of how much we see Christ. But I thought this was good too, that idea of settling you. Christ settles us. If Christ settles our lives to the point that we can be as calm as a lake with water on it. I love to go by a lake. I like skiing. So whenever I see water that's that smooth, I'm like, oh man, it's perfect for slalom. I could be out there on one ski and we could just be getting it. Well, that water is just so perfectly still. It makes us relax. If you've ever gone camping and you've seen a lake like that, you're like, ah, it just makes you calm. Christ can establish and settle us by focusing and staying in His eternal glory. But I like this picture here, because once we're that calm and settled, we reflect everything that's around us. And if we're in Christ, everything that Christ is should be visible in us. The moon was kind of a good example. The mirror image tendencies of lake water, there's almost no distinction between what you're looking at on the mountain and trees versus what's in the water. It's almost one and the same. That would be the great thing for a church to be. That reflective of Christ. That people see in us immediately what Christ is. So, building in Christ, we're trying to be a godly church, doing good work. How can we be a godly people so we can become part of a successful church? Matthew 7:23, we hear Christ and we build on the rock. He says, if you want to be like me, the wise man's going to build his house right here on me, right on my promises. I am the foundation, build on me, structure yourself on me, and it doesn't matter what hits you, what storm hits you, you're going to be okay. 2 Thessalonians 3, that we do good and obey the apostles, and the apostles are the ones who obeyed Christ and the Holy Spirit of God. So, following the apostles, following the epistles of Paul and the other writers of the New Testament, we understand when Christ sent them out, commissioned them to teach as He had taught them, we are following Christ, and Christ is God. So we have that down pat if we follow. 1 Corinthians 3:10, we build on the right foundation and in the right ways. The foundation's easy, but how are we stacking things up? How are we organizing those stones? How are we fitting in the gaps where our brothers and sisters in the church might not be a perfect fit, and trying to support them as best we can? Acts 16, we keep the apostles' decrees. Hebrews 12, we strengthen our spiritual bodies to prevent injury and be able to face challenges. It's one thing just to try not getting hurt. But also, remember, Paul says we need to run this race. We need to be prepared to be able to sprint when we need to sprint. And if our feeble knees are there and our arms are hanging down and we're kind of walking around like this, we're not going to be ready for that race. And people, the world is teaching people how to run faster than we ever go if we're not with Christ. Number 6, 1 Peter 5. We allow Christ to perfect, establish, and strengthen us and settle us in Him, just like that lake water. We want to be settled, smooth, calm. How do we stay calm in a world like we have? We focus on Christ, just like we talked about in class today. We let that joy go beyond what we are seeing around us. We see everything out of control, but as we've talked about, you go back in the Old Testament, everything was out of control throughout all time. God can fix it. Acts 2:47, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. So if we want to be part of that building of Christ, we have to be baptized and in the kingdom. In Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Probably one of the most important passages that we've had up there today. I put it up there for you, the first lesson. I'll put it up there for you again. We've got property. It is not the property. It is not the building. It is not the structure or the design of the building. It doesn't matter how this place looks. If I pulled everything out of here that was made of wood, stone, carpet, synthetic materials, it would just be all of you, my brothers and sisters that are here. We are the church at the Third Street Church of Christ. We are the church at the Waynesville Church of Christ. However you call it, when you meet here and your members here, we are just like when we were kids. We're that Red Rover game, or we're that circle of friends holding hands with each other. And if we're not, we need to make sure we are holding hands with each other, or we end up like those bricks that have the fractures and they're breaking up. We want to make sure that we're strong. When people have bad things happen in their lives, we got to hold on to them even tighter. Because just like those limp hands and feeble knees, when life gets you down, it pushes you down hard. And sometimes you need to pull people back up. We talked about earlier about pulling someone out of the fire if they're in sin. But sometimes sadness in life, difficulty in life, turmoil in life, and loss of life can bring us to the same point. So let's stay strong. I encourage you all to think about those things. Take out our songbooks, and we'll be singing the song that's been set for the invitation. If you have any needs at all, please let that be known.